So we see and we saw our story. Now let's talk about God's story. And so what I want to do is I want to walk through these elements, okay? We share the gospel, all right? We share a testimony. We're in our testimony. Man, this is who I was like before Christ. And man, this is what happened to me. I was going through, and you explain the situation of what's going on in your life or what was going on. And then how did God meet you? What was the here's what you want to answer in that second section. What was the message that you believed that changed your life? What was the message that you believed that changed your life? And this is it, and this is how I want you to share it, okay? So there's four elements to this, okay? First is creation. Now, you can't explain, you can't share it as in detail or as in like specific detail and as long as that video was, right? We just can't go that long. That was 6 minutes. We can't go that long. We need to be very brief, okay? But we need to be very clear, okay? So here's the first one. You know, Spence talked about the four movements of the gospel. Here's the first movement, okay? Creation. So God created the world and everything in it. He is loving and holy, and he created people to live in a perfect relationship with him. All right, that's creation. That is what happened in creation. Then there's the fall. Man disobeyed God. Sin entered into the world, and like a virus, it has now infected every person, separating us from God. Everything in our world is now broken, and everyone is guilty before God. Then we have the rescue, okay? Here's the rescue. God sent his perfect son, Jesus, to rescue us by his death and resurrection. If we turn from our sins and we believe in Jesus' work on our behalf, we can have our sins forgiven and can enjoy eternal life. That's the rescue. And here's the last movement is new creation. So if you notice on the video, they said restoration. Did you catch that? They said restoration. I like new creation better because the way they put restoration was like almost as if, you know, God was going to restore everything back to the way it was in creation, like back like to the way it was in the garden. And heaven's going to be a lot better than that. So new creation, God's going to build a new heavens, a new earth, and it's going to be ridiculously awesome. And I think new creation is a better way to describe that. So a new creation, one day Jesus will return and make all things new. He'll make all the sad things untrue, and we will be with Jesus in a new heaven and new earth. That is the four movements of the gospel that we need to explain. So we share, you know, how our life, what was our life was like before Christ, what were the circumstances in, you know, when you came to know this, so like share, and then you go, bam, right into creation, fall, rescue, new creation, okay? New creation is important because a lot of people, God's story, let me backtrack for a second. God's story answers a lot of the questions that people are going to have, okay? So yeah, it talks about creation. How is the earth formed? Well, why is everything the way that it is, right? Why is everything so messed up? Why are there wars? Why is there poverty? Why is there sickness and cancer and death? Well, that's a result of the fall. And then after you share that with them, you can say, hey, remember when I told you about the fall or what happened there? That was the result of this. And you can explain it that way, and you can further explain it. And then the rescue, this really clearly explains what Jesus did. And then a new creation, this is, I'm telling you, I had a guy come to Jesus and give his life to Jesus because of this idea of new creation. That all the wrongs that has happened to him in his life, that God is going to take care of it because he's a just and good God. So all of his suffering, God is going to make right one day. Okay? All the things that are wrong in this world, God is going to make new. Like, that is a big deal. That is awesome. That is good news, especially for people who've been hurt by other people. The fact that we have a just God that will one day judge that. And we don't have to get vengeance on our own. God has us. That is awesome. New creation. So we have our story and God's story. So turn to page 10. So what I want to talk to you right now is kind of the art of sharing. There's a reason why I kind of said that. The reason I kind of said art of sharing is because there is like, there is a way, like you do get better at this with practice. And there are some things that you can kind of learn, some tricks of the trade that you can kind of put in your pocket or in your tool belt as you go forward. It is kind of an art form at times, especially if you get really good at it, or especially if you're around someone who has the gift of evangelism. It's beautiful. So I want to answer a few things for you really quickly, and here's what it is. Here's the first one. So who do I share with? Who do I share with? You know, not all of us have the gift of evangelism, but we are all called to do the work of an evangelist, right? So God has called us to share the gospel. Go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I've commanded. We cannot make disciples unless we share the gospel. God has called us to that. If they have a heartbeat, you should share with them. If they are around you, you should share with them, okay? So here's a question that I get a lot. Is it better to share with random people, or is it better to share with people that I already have relationships with? Okay? And here's the heart behind that. Most people don't want to share with people they don't know. And here's what I'll get. Well, Scott, you know, I'd rather have, like, I like relational evangelism better. You know, I already have a relationship with them, you know, but the problem with that is a lot of times, even though we say I like relational evangelism, if we're honest, most of us don't even share with the relationships that we have. So I think it's twofold. I think we should be sharing the gospel broadly to everybody. Again, if they have a heartbeat, we should share with them. So we should share it broadly, but we should also share with the personal relationships that we have. Does that make sense? It's both. Number two, how do I build relationships so that I can share the gospel? This is a great question. And if I can show y'all some tough love for a second, some of you have been Christians for so long that you've forgotten how to make friends. You know, you've forgotten how to make friends with lost people. You've been a Christian for so long that you get around lost people, and lost people do what lost people do, and you feel uncomfortable, and then you don't know how to build a relationship with that person. We need to get past that. We need to get past that, because if we're going to reach people, we're going to have to sometimes go to where lost people are, right? I know when I go home to Miami, Florida, my hometown, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, I know that when I get around my lost friends, there's going to be some stuff going down that ain't pretty. But if I want to reach them, I have to go there sometimes. Now, I'm not saying go somewhere where, you know, crazy legal stuff's going on. You know what I'm saying. You know, we're going to have to go after them at times. And some of us, I fear that we've been a Christian so long that we forget how to build relationships. Okay? So, number one, just start a conversation. Just start a conversation. Talk about whatever seems natural. You know, you meet someone at a party or you meet somebody at work, just start a conversation with them. Most people, because we live in an individualistic society, and a lot of people right now, especially in our culture, social media, we're just kind of in our own space. We're in our own space, you know, and if people kind of enter into that, like, we don't really want to step outside of our own, like, we're too focused on ourselves. But think about this. When someone shows interest in you, don't you feel loved by that? Don't you feel loved by when someone says, hey, how you doing? Like, my name's Scott. You know, I work around the corner in the cubicle. Nice to meet you. What's going on, man? How you doing? Like, you feel loved by that. Okay? Find commonality. Do you have any similar interests? You know, I like baseball. I like football. You know, talk about that. You know, talk about whatever you love. Find out what they love. And maybe you have a commonality. And if you don't have a commonality, just show a lot of interest in whatever they love. People love to talk about themselves, right? So if you let them talk about what they love, they're going to love you. It's true. Number three, be a good friend. So model vulnerability. Be the first one to take it personal, okay? Be the first one to say, hey, you know, like we don't like to show a lot of vulnerability, right? But be the first one to go there and say, hey, man, I'm just having a hard day. Like, man, I got this going on at home. Just be a real person in front of them. Be a real person. And then fourth, find a bridge to the gospel. Listen for an opening and pounce on it, okay? Listen for an opening. Are they struggling? Are they having a hard time? Speak into that. How have you had a hard time? And how has God helped you with that? Find an opening, build a bridge, and get in there. We will get opportunities if you're looking for it. If you're looking for it, you will find a lot of opportunities. And here's the biggest one. I want you to circle this. I want you to underline it. I want you to memorize it. I want you to tattoo this on your head. Here's what I don't want you to do. Don't hit the point of no return. Here's what I mean by that. So you build a relationship with somebody. You're at work, and you're like, okay, I know I need to share the gospel. So then you finally muster up the strength to reach out to the person in the cubicle next to you, and you reach out to that person, you start building a relationship. And then you actually become friends, right? You actually become friends. You hang out after work. Your families are doing stuff together. You're going out and you're getting drinks or whatever you're doing. And then you're talking to them. And then you're like, man, this is turning into a good friendship. But we haven't mentioned Jesus yet. So we haven't mentioned Jesus yet. And we know, okay, I need to get there. But now we have something to lose because they're now becoming like our best work friend. You know, we don't have any other work friends, so we want to keep this work friend. And we get to that point, and I call it the point of no return, because now we have something to lose. And then here's the worst feeling in the world, and it's happened to me too many times that I'd like to admit. But we get to the point where we say to ourselves, wow, like, if the gospel was that important, and I share with them now, and it was that important to me, and then I'm really trying to go after it and get, you know, share the gospel hard and call them to faith. Like, aren't they going to think, like, why haven't you shared this with me before? We hit that point of no return. We hit that point of like, man, like, it's been too long. Like, we've been friends for 3 years now. They know I'm a Christian, but I've never shared. It would be weird if I shared now. How many of you felt that before? I know you felt that. A lot of us in here, we felt that. Don't hit the point of no return. Find your opportunity, seize it. Number three, what do I do if they ask hard questions? That happens to me all the time. What do you do if they ask hard questions? So example, you know, what happened? You know, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? God is homophobic. I don't trust the Bible. Christians are hypocrites. You know, people always go to like the most extreme thing, you know, like it seems like, you know, you try to reach them and then it was like, oh yeah, well, what about that genocide? You know, well, what do you think? Well, God did that, you know, and then you're just like, dang, man, like he's coming in guns blazing. I don't know what to do. So that is a real thing. People have real, genuine problems with God. And what do we do? Okay, here's the first one. Ask them if that's their biggest obstacle to surrendering to Christ. Ask them if that's their biggest obstacle. And would they commit to surrendering their life to Jesus if you answered their question? Because here's what happens. A lot of times, hey, a lot of these things are smoke screens. Like they just heard it from somewhere else, and that's just kind of what, they're just regurgitating what they think. Or, you know, they're just throwing out a lot of different things because they know, because unfortunately, most Christians are not able to defend their faith, and it's sad. And they know that other people came, and I mentioned the problem of evil to them, and they weren't able to answer me, so let me throw that out so I can get this Christian out of my face. Right? So ask them, okay, well, if I do answer your question, would you give your life to Jesus then? And most of them will say no. Because they're just trying to get you out of their face, right? They're just trying to get you out of there. But what if I have had people say, okay, well, I get past all these little surfacey questions. What's the real issue here? What's the real problem? And once we get to the real problem, because sometimes disbelief in God comes from pain. Sometimes it comes from pain in their life that they've experienced. Their father died when he was 12 years old, and I'm mad at God for that. Get to the heart, and if you are able to answer that question, maybe they can come to know the Lord. Number two, know that many people's objections are smoke screens. I mentioned that a second ago. Know that a lot of these things are hard. Number three, they come from a place of pain. And the last thing, it's okay to punt it, right? If you don't know the answer, it's okay to punt it. Say, you know what? I don't really know the answer to that. I don't really know. But if you don't mind, let me go back to the house. Let me go call my community group leader. Let me go call somebody. And let me study. Let me get an answer for you. And then can I call you tomorrow? Okay? Do not make that commit to this. If you don't know the answer to a question, make that the last time you don't know the answer to that question. Make that the last time. And every once in a while, I've been sharing the gospel for a long time. Evangelism happens to be one of my spiritual gifts. But every once in a while, I'll come across something that I don't know what to do with. And typically, people are okay if you're not a know-it-all. And that you just know all the answers. Sometimes it's like, okay, this person's a real person. They don't know the answer. Sure, I can wait till tomorrow for you to answer that. And especially if they've never had any Christian ever defend their faith before, and you say, hey, I'll come back and give you an answer, some people might be really intrigued by that. Here's the last one. How do I take a normal conversation into a spiritual conversation? One of the hardest things to do is to steer a conversation into sharing the gospel. That is so hard. It's so hard. But there's a few realities. Number one, we need to get over this. Sharing the gospel will always be awkward. Always. It will always be awkward. We need to get over this by realizing that it's always going to be this way. So here's a secret. So evangelism is one of my spiritual gifts. Okay, it's one of my spiritual gifts. But every single time I go to share with somebody, I'm always nervous. I'm always scared what they're going to think about me. Always. It never goes away, ever. Now, I'm confident in the Lord. I'm confident that he can save. But I'm still a sinner. I still fear what they think of me, right? But when you do it enough, you get used to being uncomfortable. And that becomes like just part of being a Christian. And if you're never uncomfortable as a Christian, I would argue you're probably not living it right. If you're never uncomfortable at living a life as a Christian, then you're not really putting your neck out for Jesus. And therefore, you're probably not having much of an impact on your friends and family around you. Number two, just dive in. I think a lot of us assume that people are going to think the worst of us, and you know, I don't really think that's typically true. You know, simply say, hey man, did you grow up in church or are you religious? Do you want to know what my go-to is when I'm on the college campus or when I'm walking around the mall talking to people? Because I do that sometimes. I tried to get my wife to go out on a date and share the gospel. That didn't really go well. Here's what I do. I go up to people and I say, hey man, how you doing? My name is Scott. And if I'm somebody, I introduce them. Hey, I'm walking around talking to people about faith and what they believe about God. What do you think about that? And people, very rarely will someone I've had this four or five times in the last year and a half that I've been here in Charlotte. Just four or five times. Yesterday I had a guy say, this is going to scare you from evangelism, but whatever. He said, yeah, I have some thoughts about God, but what did he say? He's like, yeah, but I don't really want to tell you. And I was like, no, he said, I don't want to tell you. That's what it was. I don't want to tell you. And I was like, all right, well, see ya. So it's always going to be awkward, okay? It's always going to be awkward, and sometimes we just need to dive in. We just need to dive in. And also another thing we can do is use what they say to build a bridge to spiritual things. Or like, hey, I'm having a really hard time with my kids. I don't know what to do with them. They're just rebellious, and I can't handle them. I can't understand them. And as a Christian, I'm a parent, and as a Christian parent, to two daughters, you know, sometimes I don't know what to do. Like, my daughters are throwing a fit. They're starting, my daughters are 3 and 1, you know, little sinners. And I see their sin, and I'm like, she's throwing a fit, and I don't know what to do, right? What if you told them, hey, I totally get that. Like, sometimes I have a hard time with my kids, too. I have to continually remind myself that I have to trust God with my kids. You know, I just have to trust God with my kids because if I don't, I'll just sit around fretting all the time. So what about you? Like, are you religious at all? And then, boom, you're in. It's not that difficult. And that's how normal conversations go, right? Like, you're sitting around, you know, the living room, and you're like, and they ask you, oh, where'd you grow up? Saying, are you religious, or, hey, did you grow up in church, is the equivalent of, hey, where did you grow up? It's this, basically the same question. But for whatever reason, we're afraid of taking it spiritual when that's what normal people do in everyday conversation. Hey, did you grow up in church? Hey, are you religious? Like, you're my friend. Hey, I'm just asking you a question. It's normal. We could do that, all right? Here's what I'm going to do. Right now, I have a couple people that I'm going to call on stage to share the gospel right now. I'm just playing. So here's what we're going to do. I have a couple people. We are going to do some mock conversations for you, okay? I have two friends that are going to come up here, okay? One of them is named Phil. Can we give a hand for Phil? All right, so we have two people that I want to show and model for you how to share the gospel. Okay, this is my friend Phil, okay? He is going to play a Bible Belt Christian. Thank you. You can go over there. All right, so he is going to play a Bible Belt Christian. So what I mean by that is grew up in church his whole life, but no real evidence of fruit in his life. You know, has never, you know, there's like, you know that this person's not a Christian, okay? You know he's not a Christian, and he's also, he doesn't really even think about God a lot. He just doesn't really, has no effect in his life. I know that, but I'm also that Christian that has known him for a while. I've known him for a few years, but I've never shared, okay? I've never shared with him before, so now what we're going to do is I'm going to model a conversation. So here's the scene, okay? We're not perfect actors, so don't judge us so hard, and we can't get into as long of a conversation, so this is a simple model, okay? We get that? This is a simple model. I just want to model a little bit of how I typically do this when I go out to share or when I'm with a friend. This is how it goes, all right? No laughing because you make me laugh. All right. Phil, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
Good to see you, man. So you got a new job, right?
Yeah.
How's it going?
Six figures?
Yeah, man. Man, that's awesome. Good for you, dude. Yeah, well, how's that going?
I mean, I told you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Six-figure. That's good.
Yeah.
How's the last few weeks been?
It's good. I'm doing okay. You know, things are good, but they're also bad. So
okay. Well, that's
it's life.
That covers the spectrum.
Right.
Right. So, here's the deal. Man, the other day I was at church and something, you know, kind of hit me, and I realized I don't really know, like, your backstory. Like, did you grow up in church or anything? Like,
yeah, I did. My family was there a lot, you know, kind of whenever the doors are open, we were there. So
okay, so would you say that you're a Christian?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Would? Okay, yeah. So how would you say that affects, like, your everyday life?
Well, you know, I go to church on Sundays,
okay,
most Sundays, so and I'm trying to be pretty good most of the time. So,
okay.
I think, yeah.
Okay. So how would you say, like, you know, in the way you think about God, so if you were to go to heaven, heaven forbid you get in a car accident or something like that, like, and you stand before God one day, like, why should God let you in?
So Jesus, because I'm a Christian, so Jesus has done what he's done,
right?
And I think I've done more good than bad. I think my good outweighs the bad.
Okay.
I don't always know, like, what is the right thing to do, but I think for the most part I do a decent job.
So you think that you're in your life, your good needs to outweigh the bad, and if God, and you hope God will grade on the curve, is that kind of what?
Right. Well, okay. I know I mess up, but, like, it seems overly harsh that I wouldn't get into heaven.
Okay.
Because I think, I don't do anything seriously bad.
So. Right. Okay. Yeah, man, I think for me, you know, when I was growing up, kind of like you, if the doors were open, my parents kind of took me to church. Right. And so what that kind of built in me was, man, I'd go to church and, you know, I'd learn these Bible verses and it was good. I'm glad, thankful that my parents did that. But I think for me, like, it turned kind of into, like, a tradition. Mm. And, in my life, there wasn't really any change. Like, I wasn't happy. Like, there wasn't, you know, like, I wasn't satisfied. And when I was in high school, man, I really, you know, while I said I was a Christian, I was also that kid that had a foot in church and kind of a foot, like, you know, just doing whatever my friends did. And so I got involved in, you know, just partying and stuff like that. And man, just really was chasing after a lot of things, like success in sports. And I played, you know, I played sports in high school. And I thought all of that would fulfill me, man. And then one day someone told me something that really changed my life. And here's what they told me. So, you know, in the beginning, you know, God created, you know, the heavens and the earth, right? I'm sure you've heard this story. You know, God created Adam and Eve. And, yeah. you know, and yeah. they could have the whole world, everything in it. Everything's perfect. They had a perfect relationship with God, a perfect relationship with each other, with Adam and Eve. And, you know, but what did God tell, you remember, what did God tell them not to do?
Well, yeah, don't eat the fruit.
Right, don't eat the fruit, right? You learned that in Sunday school. So don't eat the fruit. And but what did they do? They did. They ate the fruit. And when they did that, sin entered into the world. And like a virus, it's been it's been transferred to every person who ever lived. So everything that we see around us, you know, all the, you know, the disasters, the, you know, murder and genocide, you know, just sickness and disease, all that stuff is a result of that day, you know. But what God did is he didn't leave us there. He sent his son Jesus to come after us, and he lived a perfect life that we should have lived. He died a death that we deserve, and God poured out all of his wrath, and he put all the sins of the world onto Jesus so that he didn't have to pour it out on us. And then Jesus was buried in the ground, and he rose again 3 days later, defeating death, defeating sin. And if we believe in that, if we put our faith in that and turn from our sin and surrender our life to Jesus, then we can be saved. But it doesn't end there, man. This is crazy. It, like, one day we're going to get to be with God in heaven, and everything that was wrong, is he's going to make it right. You know, there's going to be no more sadness. There's going to be no more tears. It's going to be perfect. We're going to be with him in heaven. And, man, that really transformed my life, because I thought, man, I thought that I had to be, like, good enough. I thought that I had to earn my way, and that kind of like you, that my good had to outweigh the bad. But that's just not what the Bible teaches. Man, have you ever heard that before?
Yeah. I mean, I told you I'm a Christian, too. So, but you aren't really talking that much about doing good. You're saying like it's free.
Right. So let me explain that for a second. So I'm not saying that when you become a Christian that you stop doing good things. So I think the distinction is, some people think that you have to, like, perform to earn God's favor, but when in reality we do good things because we have favor. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Okay, well, here's a bottom line, man. Here's a bottom line. So I think that based on what you said, that you think you can earn your way to heaven by being a good person. And, man, I just want to push back against that. Man, I really care about you. And I just want to say, man, I've been following Jesus for a while now. Dude, I'm really sorry I haven't shared this with you earlier. I've been feeling really guilty about it. But, man, listen, here's what I think, man. I think that by the way you just described what a Christian is, I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. So, man, I don't think, based on that, based on what you told me, I don't think you're a Christian. So, man, here's what I would say, man. I think this is good news for you, because, man, you don't have to earn it. Like, here's what Jesus did. Again, Jesus performed in your place. He lived the life that you should have lived, right? He died a death that you deserve. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth, like when you confess with your mouth, that means that you really believe it, and you believe in your heart, like you really believe in what he did, and that Christ died for your sins and that he rose again from the dead, that you can be saved. So, man, I don't want you to think that you have to walk around thinking that you have to earn it, because you don't, because Jesus earned it for you. So, man, here's what I think you need to do. Man, I don't think that you're surrendered to Jesus. So let me ask you one more question, and then I want to, you know, clarify something. So when you walk through your life and make the big decisions, or, like, go through everyday life, like, would you say that, like, you consult God at all? Would you say that he's the center of all your decision-making? Would you say he's the center of your whole life? Or would you say that you're kind of the center of your life, and all the decisions are based on, oh, this is what I want to do. Like, where would you kind of stand on that?
I think you're right, man. I don't really think about Jesus much at all outside of a Sunday morning.
Right. I got you. Well, man, here's what I think. I know this is hard to hear, but I don't think you know Jesus. I think you know about him, but I don't think you actually know him. So, man, I think there's one really easy way to do that, and that's just by simply praying a prayer to God. Now these words, you know, don't necessarily, they're not magical words, but it's the posture of your heart when you pray to him. So I think what you could do is you could just simply pray to God and ask him or tell him, hey, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died on the cross for my sins. I know that you rose from the grave, and I know that if I put my faith in you, then, you know, then I can be saved and my sins can be forgiven and I can be with you one day in eternity. Man, is that what you want?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, great. Well, man, here's what we can do. Let me just pray, and you can kind of repeat after me, and then we can just kind of go back and forth. And then, man, if you really believe this in your heart, man, pray it with all that you have. I believe that you'll be saved. And then after that, we can talk about getting you connected, and then, and you know, talk about how we can, you know, start walking this life together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, let me pray.
Cool.
End scene. Okay, so a couple things. He was kind of like, I don't know. Like, when you meet Christians who are kind of, you know, cultural Christians, they know about God, but they don't really care how it really affects them. That wasn't a perfect model, but it is something. So I want you to press in specifically with these Bible Belt Christians or the people who've been going to church their whole life, but you don't see real fruit. You know they don't believe the gospel. Almost all of them will believe that they have to be a good person. Almost all of them will believe that. And we all know that because of the fall, our sin separates us from God. We have to explain that Jesus earned it for them. Does that make sense? Okay, can we thank Phil? Thanks, bro. Good job. All right, now I'm going to call up Justin. So Justin, we have one more conversation, and then we will close. So Justin, what's up, man? So Justin is going to be the skeptic, okay? He's going to be the skeptic. He's going to be the one that, you know, didn't really grow up in church, that he has a lot of reasons why he doesn't believe in God, and he's opinionated about it, okay? But also, I don't know him at all, okay? So he's not a friend of mine. He is at South Park Mall. That's where he is. He's at South Park Mall, just straight chilling, drinking a coffee or something. And I go straight food court style and go up to him and talk to him out of nowhere. And there is, for some reason, a seat right next to him. And that's the scene. Make sense? Okay. All right. Don't make me laugh. All right. I feel like I'm in Jimmy Fallon doing some weird skit or something. All right. Okay. Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, good to see you, man. I'm Scott.
Hey, I'm Justin. Nice
to meet
you.
So I'm walking around just talking to people about faith and what they believe about God. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Not really, man.
No? Did you, like, grow up in church or anything?
I mean, I would go on some holidays, but, I mean, it wasn't really a big thing.
Wasn't a big thing?
Nah.
Well, what, like, do you believe in God?
No, man. I'm more into science, you know, so I believe in evolution and, you know, God and evolution, they're just not really compatible to me.
Okay.
And if I'm honest with you, man, like, I look at our world and I see a lot of pain and suffering. I just don't see how a God could exist and for that to be the reality that we
have. Right, right. Yeah, I get that. Hey, I'm going to sit down. Is that all right?
Yeah, man.
All right, cool. Yeah, man, I get that. Like, that's sometimes hard to wrestle with, you know, just seeing all the evil and stuff that we see in the world. But so let me ask you a question. So you mentioned two things there. You mentioned, you know, science, and you don't believe in God because of, you know, was it evidence and evolution, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Like, but what about, you also mentioned, you know, seeing the evil. So is there one that's more of a problem for you? Is it the evil that's more of a problem, or is it more science?
I think they're just both big issues for me.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, man, I could totally see how those are big issues. And, man, I think for me, you know, one of the things that happened to me, I know you said that you kind of went during holidays for church.
Yeah, not really though.
Okay, so no background at all.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So for me, my story's a little different. Okay, so I actually grew up in church, and I'm sure you got to know people, you know, throughout your life that went to church. And so for me, I grew up in church, and you know, whenever the doors were open, I was kind of there. And what that did for me is it created something in me that was just, you know, I thought I had to earn my way to heaven. I thought I had to be a good person. I thought I had to do all these things. And man, someone told me something that changed my life. And here's what they told me. Man, in the beginning, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, the Bible didn't exactly explain how that happened, but it said that God spoke things into creation and everything just, bam, he spoke it into creation. Everything was. And then he created two people named Adam and Eve. And they had a perfect relationship with God. They had a perfect relationship with each other. And then, I don't know if you've heard this before, but God told them that they could have everything in the garden except one tree, okay? They can't eat of that tree because it had the knowledge of good and evil, and God didn't want them to know evil, so he said, hey, stay away from it. But what did they do? They disobeyed God, and they ate of that fruit, and sin has now been, was introduced into the world. It ruined everything. Everything that you see that's evil and wrong and horrible in the world was a result of that moment. And sin has been passed down to every person to ever live. And like a virus, it just goes down to everybody. But here's the awesome news, man, that God didn't just leave us there. You know, he sent his son Jesus, and you know, Jesus lived a perfect life. You know, he didn't mess up one time. You know, he lived a life that we should have lived. He died a death that we deserve, you know, because we're sinners. And then, you know, they killed him. You know, God poured out all of his wrath on his son so he didn't have to pour it out on us. And the sins of the world went on to Jesus, and then he died. And then he was put in the ground, and, you know, but he didn't stay there, and he rose from the grave, proving that he was God, proving that he could have victory over death and sin. And if we believe in that, if we believe in what Jesus did for us, then we can be saved. And excuse me. But not only that, like all the wrong things that happen to us throughout our life, all the things that are terrible, you know, the horrible things, God is going to make right one day. And we're going to be with him in a new heavens and a new earth, and everything is going to be perfect. Man, have you ever heard that before?
Yeah, man, I've heard some of those things. But, I mean, honestly, just because it's true for you and just because it means something to you and just because it's changed you doesn't really make it true.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. Let me push back for a second. Just because it is meaningful to me doesn't mean that it's not true.
Yeah, I guess that's...
Right?
Yeah.
So, let me just say this. Man, I think that there's something really important for you to understand. And regardless of all the things that you mentioned, here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that Jesus came and he died. And he died because he loved you. He died because he cared about you. And if you put your faith in him, then you can be saved. You really can. And man, I know this is harsh. I know this might sound harsh, but man, apart from God, there is a place called hell. And what I told you earlier about, you know, what God did, what Jesus did, in Christian circles, that's called the good news. And the reason it's good news is because there's also bad news. And the bad news is that, you know, there is a place called hell, you know, for people who reject what Jesus did. Man, I think, let me show you something really quickly. So this is a picture of my daughter, okay? That's a picture of my daughter. Let's say for some weird reason you had, you know, an organ failing, let's say that, and you needed an organ to live, and my daughter gives her organ so that you might live, right? Saves your life, okay? But she died. Imagine then you rejecting that, and you not acknowledging what she did for you, and you just kind of living your life however you wanted to live, and refusing to be thankful, refusing to even acknowledge what she did for you. Like, as a dad, I promise you, I'd be angry, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'd be upset. My daughter just gave her life for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm a sinful man. Like, I'm a sinful man, and my daughter is sinful, but I want you to get this perspective. Man, God is perfect, and he is holy, and he is all-powerful, and he gave the ultimate sacrifice of sending his son Jesus to come and die for you. And man, I'll be honest, dude, I'm worried for you. I'm worried for you because I don't want you to be separated from God. I want you to believe this. So man, I know I've kind of thrown a lot at you, but what is your big reason for not trusting God? Maybe I could answer that. Maybe we could talk about that. Like, do you have, like, I know I don't have all the answers in the world, but maybe I can answer your question.
You know, I of course I have questions. Everybody does, but you know, I'm just not really interested in talking to you about it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I get that. But I will say this, man, you know, I know I've kind of thrown a lot at you, but I want you to understand what you're doing right now. God has done everything possible for you to come and trust him, and he has sent his son Jesus to come after you, and right now, I believe through me, God is offering you an opportunity to get right with him. And if you reject that, I do think that apart from Jesus, you will go to hell. And man, I don't want you for that. I don't want that for you. Okay, I know that's hard for me to say, but it would be hateful for me not to tell you that, to know this news and then not tell you. So man, are you sure that you don't want to talk a little bit more about this?
Yeah, man, I'm really good.
Okay, yeah. Well, I get that. So man, you know, I don't know, maybe we could, would you be interested in reading the Bible sometime? Or
no, dude. No.
Okay. All right. Well, man, thank you so much for talking to me. I know I just came at you out of nowhere and started telling you about Jesus and hell and all that kind of stuff. So, man, thank you for being gracious. And, man, have a nice day.
Yeah.
All right.
See you, man.
All right. Thanks. Bye. End scene. Okay. All right. A few things really quickly. So was he interested at all? No, he was not. Does that matter? It doesn't. Now, if they're just straight belligerent and just are going to punch you, which never happens, then obviously you don't have to stay there. But what I wanted you to see was we can still share the gospel when someone is like, he wasn't really rude. He just wasn't having it, right? He just wasn't having it. But I wanted you also to see a few things. I wanted you to see that even though he had really hard questions, you can still share the gospel. But also, I wanted you to see that it's important for us to tell people the bad news. It's really important for us to tell people the bad news, because if there's no bad news, then the good news isn't as good. Okay? And we would be hateful, because he may have never heard that before. I come across people all the time that have never heard this. They need to know where they stand before God, and we need to be willing to be people to tell them that. It would be hateful, actually, for me to tell him that he, you know, what let's say I go and I share the gospel, and then he says, "No, man, that's all right." And I say, "Well, all right, well, see ya." No, we need to plead with people. I tell every person who ever rejects Jesus when I share the gospel, ask my students or ask people who go out and share with me sometimes. I tell every single person who rejects the gospel that I think that they're going to hell. And I try to do it lovingly. Did I seem hateful when I said that? No, I mean I didn't yell at him. I wasn't like, "Man, you're an idiot." You know, I was hopefully it came across as loving, like, "Man, like, I just want you to know what you're doing right now. I want you to know what you're rejecting. Jesus has done everything to come after you. Please, please reconsider." But you know what? Sometimes they don't. And that's okay. But even when the door was slammed closed in my face, what did I do? I tried to give him at least one more opportunity. "Hey man, are you sure you don't want to maybe get up and read the Bible sometime?" Implore people. Beg people to listen. Because I'm sure of this, that if anything, he might have, excuse me, he might reject the message, but how dare we share the gospel in a way that doesn't seem like that we actually believe that with all of our hearts. We have to really believe something in this culture to tell somebody that they're going to hell. That's like one of the worst things you could ever tell somebody. But as Christians, we have to be willing to tell them that. Because then it's not good news, it's just news. Does that make sense? Okay, thank you, man. Can we give Justin a hand? Yeah. So, let me share a couple minutes. So I hope this has been valuable for you. There is no way that we could touch everything about evangelism in one evening. I even know that we're running late, and I really do apologize for that. I wanted you to see those models. Again, they weren't perfect models. You know, I know they were kind of short, but I wanted you to see that. But here's what I want us to do as a church. I want us to be a church that shares the gospel. I want us to be a church that is willing to be foolish for Jesus. I want us to be a church, and I want us to be a people that when we share the gospel, they're like, you know, I may not believe in what they're saying, but man, do they believe that? Look at what Jesus has done for us. Apart from Christ, people have no hope, none. And we have the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and God has made us, and he's entrusted to us, the ministry of reconciliation. What a privilege. What an honor. So here's what I want to do. Over the next year, on the last page of your guide here, I want us to have 1,000 gospel conversations. I want us to have 1,000 gospel conversations as a church this year. So here's what we've done. On our website, we have on mercycharlotte.com/share. Here's what we want you to do. We want you to have us to have 1,000 conversations this year. So that's like 2 conversations per member a year. We can do that, okay? But for some of you, probably have never shared. You've never shared, and it's scary, and I get that. But we got to start somewhere, okay? We got to start somewhere. Imagine what God could do with 1,000 gospel proclamations to people who've never heard. God could start something crazy in our midst. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to tell us about your conversations. Tell us about how it went. Tell us the story. Tell us the good. Tell us the bad. You know, we'd love to hear about that. And I hope that this sparks. I hope that tonight sparked something in your heart. And I pray that you will feel more equipped to go out and share the good news of Jesus with a lost and dying world. So let me pray for us, and then we'll get out of here. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, I pray that you give us boldness. God, I pray that we will fear you and not man. And God, I pray that you'll save people. I pray that for our family members. God, I pray for our neighbors. Lord, I pray for those that have rejected you for a long time. God, a month ago, a 90-year-old man came to know you. No one is too far gone. No one is too bad or too, you know, too smart. Or Lord, no one is beyond your reach. But God, we also know that you've given us a task to take the gospel to our friends. You've made us the ministers of reconciliation. And Lord, we know now that we are ambassadors for you. So God, we love you. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us as we go. In your name, amen. Thank you so much. You are sent.